five of what?
Yes, that's what I mean. I think that certainly we went down there and saw those nails and saw them and lay on here, cotton here, and mixing them, which thing they couldn't do a few years ago, but they are doing it now. And I can't see any reason on earth to think that they're going to continue to use any volume of cotton. I'm not going to say that there's no cotton at all from the United States, but 5 years from now, I can't see why these mills, any of them, will be running on cotton, except just in a very minor way, unless we make cotton somewhere nearly competitive with that man-made fiber. Well, we thought we had a bill that had a substantial general agreement until we came to the proposition that you pointed out that you folks felt you could not accept this compromise that we had on the overplant provision. If we understand it, we know that what we've been talking with the boys on was 17 million acres, starting at 17 million acres. Then, whenever you found that we needed additional cotton, that we would devote half of that to the overplant and half of it would go to the regular lot. That was what we called the Abernathy Amendment, which was adopted by the committee or agreed upon by committee way back as early as February.
I'll tell you why it is that the overplant, which is an overplant, doing this, the only reason we would be doing the overplant would be that there are some people that can grow it at the world price, but it is an overplant. Why would we split that? Why not just let them grow it if they can? If they can't grow it at the world price, let them come out of the regular lot?
The regular, that is exactly the point. These gentlemen from the southeast basically feel that they can't afford to lose their lot. That their allotment is as low as their,
why don't we just say what the allotment should be? Then when we reach that figure, then we'll say that the overplant really is an overplant. That isn't squeezing some of the allotment. It isn't calling some of the potential allotment an overplant.
Well, of course, they figure that if you allow California, Missouri, and those are the end plains of Texas, are the areas where you get most of the overplant. I assume you get some of them. You'll certainly get most of it in California, Missouri, and the plains of Texas. Yes, but Arizona won't have regular acres. Percentage-wise, it'll go higher there for them, but they don't have the acres to make it big. I'm Abernathy by name, but we all know him, and I don't mean anything in particular there. I presume our chairman feels the same way about it. He feels that if you take that acreage away from his area, you are taken away to this extent, Mr. President, as I see it. We're not planting our acreage in my district, in McLennan County, Texas. We're not planting our acreage. We used to be the biggest county in the state. We're not planting our acreage. We're blacklands. But if you left Lubbock area and you left San Joaquin plant more cotton, the nation needs a certain amount of cotton. Let us say that it needs 18 million. If you let them plant 2 million acres more than their allotment, there'll never be any way whereby our allotment will ever increase. And if you have frozen us then, and then the next time you come around, if we ever get rid of allotments, which we will under the normal course of things sometime, we have gone in a half dozen times in the past, and come back, then the next time we come back here, California's been growing 3 million bales of cotton. We have been growing, say, in Mississippi, but 1 million.
I think that makes some sense. If you think that you're ever really going to get more than 17, or whatever the figure is, and I think just the argument you were giving a few minutes ago about the use of man-made fibers, do you think we're ever going to be in a position to have more?
Yes, I sincerely think so. Of course, if we were ever even stabilize the division between man-made fibers and cotton, so that we would get the benefit of the population growth, we would right short and need 18 million, and we even need 20 million.
I always think productivity probably, especially if we do this more, we would probably increase faster than the 18 million. Why couldn't we just say that what he's really worried about is the future, that if there is a rise in the allotment, that from the present figure at some future date, that it would be distributed at least many people don't believe that that would happen. Now, I won't make it plain. I told Charlie, I'll vote for the bill and start at $16 million. I'll vote for it at $17 million. I'll vote for it at $18 million. I'll vote for the bill. I don't find that it's not that in my way. I'll support the bill. I can support the bill with this provision you're suggesting. I can support it with Tom Evans. I can support it with John Reynolds' provision in it. All of which are different, because I think we've just got to have a bill. Fortunately, I think at least my states are both ways, both interests there. But the practical thing is we can't get the votes. The practical thing is that we've been trying here for months.
You're the only Republican support.
We have three that might support it if we would take their amendments. And their amendments now, and are simply, they've in effect offered us
who had served notice on me? He said, I'm coming to you, Al Frank. He's definitely not going to vote for this bill.
Okay, well, that's
what it's about. I've got to vote for Mike McIntyre because of the industry effect.
Well, McIntyre would require two amendments. If you vote for it, he says that. He would require two amendments that you probably wouldn't want to give him. It'd be pretty close to buying off, I think. And we will do the same thing. We will take McIntyre's amendments, and then we assume that Teague would. I have not talked to Teague. I have talked to Queen McIntyre. So I don't think there's any hope for Republican support there.
We're going to have a hell of a time with the city people out here on this thing because of the cost.
No, I don't think so. If you just let Mr. Hodges give us a little help with the city people, we'll have them. Luther Hodges sat there for our committee and told us that for every dollar you spent on this, he would save, we would save for the consumers $2 on the price of cotton goods. And I think that's true. I'm convinced that he's correct on it all.
You don't think that Milliken's going to stick it in his pocket?
I don't think he can. I'm certain he'll stick it in his pocket till Burleson comes along and undersells him.
Yeah.
Or the Cannon undersells them. But certainly the cotton milling industry is a terribly competitive industry, and I think it will force these savings to be passed on. I just can't believe that there's enough combination there between them, or enough monopoly to enable.
Will Abernathy vote against this bill if he doesn't get his way?
I know he will.
I don't think he votes anything. See, we can't lose four votes, and we know we can't get Grant. I wouldn't grab you for this.
Well, he just won't, because the farm bureau almost defeated him last time, and they're still after him now. And he just tells you he can't vote for it. And that says,
I mean, he would vote for it in any case. God, even though he's taking care of the cotton people and the textile people.
I don't believe he would.
Chance the world against vote.
Tom Abernathy says, that's the only reason why he should do anything for the West. The cotton industry is just as important to the West as it is to the Southeast. He's not going to let fail to give him a single acre out there.
Well, he is.
But he will take
come along.
Why don't we start splitting it at 16 million?
He takes the position that it ought to be 18 million because 18 million was the basic amount last year, as you know. We started from an 18 million base. We cut it back 2 million this year. He says it should be the 18. Frankly, the 17 is nothing in the world except just a arbitrary effort to achieve a compromise, and we seemed to have pretty well achieved it among members of the committee. There's no special merit in the world of the 17 million acres. Tom didn't suggest the 17, I did.
Probably wouldn't go up to 17 million acres for a couple of years anyway.
I don't think so. I agree with you. I don't think it would either.
Well, McIntyre
wants first this research. He wants it to be paid for out of appropriated funds, and you know the reason for that, and there is some logic to it. And in the next place, he wants to require a mandatory reduction he wanted 10%, and in talking with Cui, I'm convinced they'll take 5%, which is, and I told him that personally I'd take 1 cent a year. Which the 5% is roughly a cent and a half a year, mandatory reduction in the support prices.
No matter what happens to cost.
No matter what happens.
Well, nobody else would take that, will they?
But
nobody else would take that, would they? If you'd lose everybody else.
I'm afraid so, yes. I think that's right, and I think that's one of the reasons that it's offered. I think that's exactly one of the things that he has in mind. But those are the two things they would require, and for that we could get a commitment to Republican voters and possibly tea.
Well, the only controversy we got left, we the industries together. You and I came to see you last time. You suggested I get the industry up here and got them up here and went to work. And, you know, they worked diligently and faithfully. They came up and agreed. Now they all had one way to be happy. Now we got this damn whole plant for this, and that's where we're up here now. Well, that Tuesday morning we haven't got the votes.
There's another truck
I think we can get into this compromise.
That over plant. Did I go ahead and buy this compromise?
Who?
Does Hagen buy it?
Hagen's already said he's for it.
Hagen is saying he's for it. Unequivocally and without reservation.
We
he came
that.
To me to tell me that he would.
So you come unglued at every other joint when you're
Hagen, I mean Hagen.
Yes.
That's a tough committee, isn't it? Because what you really need to represent there.
Oh, it's the toughest. I think it's the toughest committee in the Congress, honestly, God, boy.
Well, the only thing though, is putting a lot of labor is to write legal legislation. Because you've got Hagen there, and Christ, you've got those 70 big cotton producers in California, and all of us thinking that they're getting away with murder. You've got Tom Abernathy down in the Delta. So if you have to, those are the fellows you have to satisfy. No wonder they give us doing that. And it always ends up with me getting blamed for the crazy will cotton.
But if we don't,
I know, let's say we don't have a bill, what happens then?
If we don't have a bill, I think that we're going to lose this year, this coming cotton year. I don't mean the present one, from beginning August 1st. The coming cotton year, I think we're going to lose about 2 million bales of domestic markets. That's what I think we're going
to lose. Well, if you don't have a bill, my advice is that the cotton takes the industry.
Yeah, but you know how they are. I wish we could get some of them. I agree. I think if we pass this bill, we'll have done more for the textile industry, from the point of imports, appreciation of this, than anybody's ever done. And hell, all they do is give us hell.
I say what they have been for 7 years.
But so far, we haven't done any
harm. If you pass this bill, it'll take
away. You think it'll be Joe Milliken and Martin and Bob Stevens will...
Maybe you might tell me how to start it.
Prices.
consumption begins to increase that way, you're pretty rapidly going to reach a point where you're not going to have to. You'll have to meet the competition, I know, but it won't be quite as much pressure on you as consumption.
Well, I tell you what, unfortunately, we got the Secretary Rusk in there, and Secretary McNamara. They're a little late for that meeting. What are we going to do now? What is your judgment on them?
Progress on compensatory payments. That's what we want to be moving.